Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to speak to you, and thank you in advance for the encouragement that you're giving me to do so. For our visitors, I'd like to again welcome you here. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate each of you and are delighted that you are joining us this morning for worship. For those of you visiting for the first time, I'd like to go ahead and invite you back a second time. Hopefully next time, at your next opportunity, you'll have a better speaker standing in front of you. But I do appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Brian this morning. 2 weeks ago yesterday, I was in our bedroom with one of our boys. I withhold his name to protect the guilty. Somehow, during the course of our time in the room together, I believe he was climbing off of our bed. He turned over our bedside table, and somehow, some way, that table landed squarely on my right big toe. I really don't remember how that happened, but I am positive that he was riding the table down to the ground. And his weight, combined with the weight of the table, their momentum together, smashed my toe. I don't remember the immediate aftermath, but I am certain that I lost my breath, which helped me not to scream out loud. I knew with the newborn that we had in the house that that was not a real option. But I wanted to scream out loud on behalf of my big toe, and I wanted to scream out loud possibly at our son. I do remember dropping to the floor, rolling around a bit in agony, and trying not to scream out about my toe. I also remember Adrienne in her loving voice. The voice of a very strong woman who had just given birth to a son without the use of much medication, asking me, "Are you going to be all right?" I knew that I would be all right. I was just concerned about my toe. I didn't know how long my toe would be with us. I didn't know how long my big toenail would stay intact. But I knew I would be all right. Later, Adrian's mom, Karen, who was in the room adjacent to us, she told me her side. She said she didn't hear me, in agony. The only thing she heard was the voice of a sweet 2-year-old son saying, "I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry, Daddy." So I withheld his name earlier, but maybe I should have withheld his age also. So I give you a little bit of our recent history for a good reason. I want to let you know that even still today, I have a very sensitive big toe. So over the course of the next few minutes, if I say anything this morning where you think your toes are being stepped on, I want to assure you that mine are hurting much worse than yours are, especially my big toe on my right foot. Years ago, I heard a man that was speaking to a group, and he said that one of the men in the group that he was speaking to thought that he was pointing his finger directly at him, and his response was, "Don't point that at me, there's a nail in it." Well, again, if you think that one of my fingers this morning is pointed at you, just rest assured that there's 3 other fingers that are pointed right back at me. What I will try to commit to you, that instead of pointing my fingers at each of you or at me, that I'll try to use my finger to point at God's Bible, His Word, and then together we can read it, contemplate on it, and then we can each use His text to examine our own selves, using His Bible as our mirror. So this morning, I'd like to spend just a few moments on a topic or two that is very relevant for my little family and really our congregation as a whole. We have all been blessed in recent times with some new additions. We have been blessed with a few new baby births, and we have also been blessed as a congregation over the past few years with several adoptions. In some ways, it's hard to believe, but 5 years ago today, Adrian delivered our first child, Cole. Happy birthday, Cole. What a blessing he is, and what a responsibility he is. I remember that time when we were expecting Cole getting a lot of new parent advice. One statement that has resonated with me the most came from Adrian's doctor right after Cole's arrival. He told us that being a parent is one of the hardest jobs we'll ever love. Well, just 5 short, quick years later, I think we can attest to this statement being very true. Children are blessings from God, and children are big responsibilities to each of us as well. 5 years ago today, Adrian's doctor's statement itself told us that it was a job, so the association was already there. That was the tone. And further, not just any job, one of the hardest jobs. Why is it such a hard job? I think it's a hard job because we want so badly to do everything about the job right. But it's not just what we do ourselves in a vacuum. We are dealing with an independent being that thinks and acts for itself. And oftentimes we have to, on the fly, determine what's working, what's not working. We have to figure things out and make adjustments along the way. And then hopefully, at sometimes along the way, we do get to see their progress and their development, or we can see them do something cute that we can't help be reminded of how much we love them and how much we love being their parent. All of this takes me back to Psalms. Let's read Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Psalms 127, 3 through 5. The New King James Version says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Psalms tells us that children are a gift from the Lord. They are special gifts that are much more than the simple gift that you would give your friend or coworker for a birthday or holiday. Children are little fragile creatures with their own young souls. Their bodies and their souls together are a special package, having been assigned and then delivered to us from God. That same God who we read about in Genesis, that is the creator of all things. This verse in Psalms says that children are the fruit of the womb, and that they are a reward. And then the next verse gives us an even fuller picture about these little souls that God has given to us. Children are compared to arrows in the hand of a warrior. What are arrows used for? Arrows are aimed at a target, and then arrows are sent out into the direction of the intended target. Right now, while we have a direct influence on them, it's our job to aim them at their target, to heaven. I'm learning already that this aiming thing is a full-time job. And I read further into the passage that eventually it will be our job to release them and let them fly away from us. Parenting our children is a hard job because we want to do everything right. We want to give them the best life possible now, but we want them to later choose to do what it takes for them to have their best life and best eternal life later. We want to do things now while we are aiming them at their target, so that when we release them, letting them fly, they hit the intended target. Are we able to be perfect? No, and it hasn't taken me much time to realize this either. But if I were to be able to be a perfect parent, would that guarantee 100% success at my children hitting their target and land in heaven? No, not that either. At some point, it's going to be their responsibility to love and to follow after God. Are there any examples of folks in the Bible having perfect parents? Think about that for a minute, if you haven't before. But I think there is one. Think about way back in the beginning. Think about what Jody read to us this morning. Adam and Eve, the setting, the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve knew their father. God is perfect. Adam and Eve were able to communicate with God, and he was able to tell them directly what to do and what not to do. And we can be assured that he did every part of his parenting perfectly. How did that end up? Well, we know Adam and Eve, even with all of their perfect opportunities, living in a perfect everything environment all around them, that they still messed up. That sneaky snake and that free will got the best of them. It changed everything from being perfect. So I think now sometimes we need to cut ourselves a break and realize that even if we were the perfect parent, the outcome for those we love is not guaranteed. They will be making their own decisions and learning from each of those decisions, hopefully having opportunities to correct the course and make improvements along the way. So I'm also not, or I am the first person in this room to say or admit that I'm still learning how to aim our children at their intended target, to heaven. I'm not so bold to walk up here before you this morning and give anyone in this room a list of the how-tos of parenting. I know enough to know that I don't know very much and that we definitely do not have it all figured out. But what I can share is a little bit more about how our precious gifts from God have blessed us and how they have taught me a lot about the meaning of this life. And I think a little bit about what our relationship is like with our Heavenly Father, just from my brief experiences as a father to them here on this earth. One night last week, we were eating supper together. Well, most of us were eating supper. Benjamin was doing a good job with his. He was loving his soup. He was managing to improve his dexterity with his fingers, work his spoon. Everything in his bowl, he was enjoying. Cole, on the other hand, was struggling to get started. He had excuses like, it's too hard to eat. He wasn't hungry. He didn't like soup. His stomach hurt. But then we started talking about dessert. And Cole likes dessert. He knew he wanted the dessert, but his nature didn't want to give in and eat his soup. He exclaimed, I can't eat the soup. I don't like it. It's too hot. There is too much. I don't like potatoes. It's hard to eat it. I need help. I just can't do it. You think of a reason that one would give to not eat, and we heard it. I think at that point, I had finished my second bowl of soup, and was tired of talking about co-eating his, so I wanted to encourage him a different way, and I started getting out the dessert from the refrigerator. Well, that didn't work, and Cole dug in. Fortunately, Karen was there again, and she used her wisdom and started showing Cole how he loves green beans, he loves chicken and tomatoes, and that's really what is in his soup. And Cole, he knew he liked green beans, and he knew he liked the other stuff, but he still needed a little help. So I loaded up a couple spoonfuls, and he finally warmed up to eating. By the end of the bowl, he was loading up his own spoonfuls, including the potatoes, and then he was seen tipping the bowl up to finish every last drop. Later, he was talking about how good the soup was and how he was able to enjoy his dessert. He just needed some coaching and support and motivation to get across the finish line. And then, sometime later, something hit me. I've had similar reaction as Cole to some tasks that God has given me from his Bible. Flip over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Let me stop right there. So I remember Brian's lesson last Sunday evening. When he was talking, I was reminded of this passage, and I was caught up in the first half of verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. I remember saying to myself, nothing? Not a thing? I can't do that. That's too hard. That's too big a task. I need help. I was given excuses like a certain someone. Let's go back to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So right there, God has given us the means to help us load up the individual spoonfuls that we need to tackle our lives one bite at a time. I have found that it's easy to forget about this passage for a period, and then I find myself thinking that it's impossible, that the bowl is too full. But I have forgotten the important answer that God has already given us. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I should be letting my request be known to God. Now to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That sounds like dessert to me. That what I want, and that's a great incentive to do what it takes to get. That is the prize for giving all of our bite-sized supplications over to God. Continuing in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. I want the God of peace to be with me. I know that it's easy for me to forget that God is there to help me. And if I let my bowl fill up, it looks overwhelming and unattainable. But if I ask him, he will help me. Little by little, bite by bite, we can start making progress towards the dessert, the peace that passes all understanding. Fortunately for all of us, God is our perfect parent. And for that matter, God is also the perfect parent of our children, their heavenly Father too. We are very blessed by God to have His Bible that teaches us everything we need to live a godly life here, and then to be with Him in heaven when our time on this earth is done. Finally, this morning, let's flip over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Our faith makes us children of God. When we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, we put on Christ, and it doesn't matter our nationality, it doesn't matter our gender, all of those things. Christ makes us all children of God, an heir of His salvation. This morning, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, what are you waiting on? Ananias told Paul after Jesus had spoken directly to Paul, after Paul had been blinded, after Paul had spent 3 days in prayer, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." If you have not been baptized, then you are still living in your sins. We plead with you to wash away your sins. If you are already a child of God, but would like the prayers of the church, we are here for you. If you would like to study more, we would like to take that opportunity with you. Whatever your need this morning, please come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.